I believe the songs are already written, he said. And when you pick up that pen, you start getting in the way. You know, there's something in artists that have understood for a long time, the principle that they are simply conduits of what God is saying through them. In fact, J.R.R. Tolkien said that the Lord of the Rings, the story was already written. In fact, the word he used, he said, I simply reached up and pulled a leaf off the tree of tales. I simply wrote what was already written. You know, as we begin moving into hearing God's voice, there is something in artists that have long understood what even science has begun in the 20th century to understand. Our daughter Taylor studied art therapy at Grandview in Des Moines, graduated with her degree, and a couple of summers ago she went to Uganda on a summer mission program. And what art therapy understands and what that branch of art and psychology understands is that children have this innocent, unadulterated way to express themselves. They can't help but express themselves in a pure, true way. And so when a child picks up the crayons or the markers and begins drawing pictures, what comes out of them is a clear picture, a metaphorical snapshot of what's going on in their heart. The picture on the screen right here is a picture that was drawn by one of the children in Uganda. In that area of Uganda, Lukoti, there, the Lord's Resistance Army, which has nothing to do with the Lord, a terrorist organization, came through a few years ago, killed all of the adults, raped all of the young women. I mean, we're talking 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls, and took all of the little boys as hostages to train them to become child soldiers. And Child Voice is an organization that, in the wake of that tragedy, has created a school for all of these young women who were raped and got pregnant and had children by the terrorists. And the young children who had witnessed these atrocious acts. And so Child Voice is trying to bring some redemption and healing to this area of the world. So Taylor did some work with the children, and she, using her art therapy, just said, draw. Here's your markers, here's your crayons, draw. And this is one of the pictures that was drawn by a young boy. And you can see there the hut that's on fire, and the soldier, the terrorist with his machete, and the dead body down below the hut. Talking about out of the mouths of babes, well, out of the hands of babes. I remember going to the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. many years ago, and I went through the entire museum, and it was heavy, and it was just hard to fathom everything that you're seeing. And at the very end of the tour, as you're walking out along the wall, right towards the exit, were all the pictures that children had drawn of what they had seen and experienced in the Holocaust. And it was at that moment I just began to weep. And I almost couldn't stop when I saw what these children drew. Children. Pablo Picasso once said that when I was a child, I learned to draw like a master, like the master Raphael. And here is a young self-portrait of Pablo Picasso. He said, it took me a lifetime to learn to draw like a child. And here's the final self-portrait he made of himself. And I've always loved that quote. Because think about it. What did Jesus say? Jesus called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change," and I want to emphasize that word change, "unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Childlikeness is a process. And in hearing God's voice, one of the things that we learn is that the process of journaling is an important part of hearing God's voice. And this morning, my task is to really help us think about and understand the whole concept of journaling and what that does in hearing God's voice. And I'm going to share out of my own experience, so it's my own story. Back in right around the turn of the century, just after 2000, 2001, I had just come through the darkest part of my life journey. Life was awful. I was falling apart at the seams. Everything just seemed dark and purposeless, and I couldn't find my way. And I just felt like my soul was gunked up. Can I use that word? Gunked up. That's what I felt like. And so I realized as I was thinking about this, and how have I wandered so far from, I just don't even feel like myself. Who am I? I'm getting to ask these questions again. And one of the things that struck me was that as a young man, one of my passions has always been the arts, and particularly theater. I majored in college with a degree in theater because I loved it. I spent all my high school and college years on stage, directing, acting, writing, doing all sorts of things on stage. I graduated from college, and I did not step foot on stage for over 15 years. So now all of a sudden, I'm in this kind of dark place in my life, and I realize I've lost something about who I am. So a bunch of people had recommended to me a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Now, I picked up the book and I began reading through it, and there were two things that were the key pieces of this 12-week sort of a workshop on kind of tapping back into that creative, childlike spirit. One of them was to take yourself on what's called an artist's date. Once a week, you go do something fun, do something creative. But the one that made the most difference in my life was what Julia Cameron calls morning pages, okay? Which is basically journaling. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always loved the idea of journaling. Anybody else with me? I love the idea of it, right? So all through my life, I would go out to Barnes & Noble and I'd buy this beautiful leather journal. I'm going to journal. And I would go home and I'd open it up and I'd sit there with my pen and go, okay. And maybe I would write a little something or try a poem, and then I would put it away and I'd put it on the shelf, and there that beautiful journal would sit. And then a year later I'd go, I'm going to journal. So I'd go out and I'd get another journal. And I'd open it up, and I'd sit. And pretty soon I had a stack of journals with like 3 or 4 pages written in them and nothing else. So I had tried journaling, but I'm like, what is this? So I'm doing this process in the artist's way called, and Julie Cameron says, morning pages. So here's the process of morning pages. Disclaimer here, there is no one formula for successful journaling. There isn't. In Hearing God's Voice, Mark Verkler talks about journaling as a way of keep the journal next to your bedstand with your pen and get up as soon as you wake up and write down what you dreamed. What do you remember? What are the snapshots that were in your dream? Morning pages are very similar to that. This is what I followed the formula that Julia Cameron had. And the first thing that she said, the first rule is do it first thing in the morning. Now, one thing you need to know about me is I'm a morning person. Always been a morning person. When I was a little kid, I was always up before anybody else. And in fact, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, my dad, at about 5:30 in the morning, takes me into the living room. And there's this beautiful antique mantle clock that chimed the hours. And he looked down at me and he said, "Until that clock strikes six, I don't want to see your face." So I would sneak downstairs and I would hide behind the chair in the living room until the clock struck six. And I'd pop up, it's 6 o'clock. I've always been a morning person. Wendy is not a morning person. So one of the things that she hates is the concept of morning pages. She wants it to be midnight pages or evening pages. Again, there's no one formula. But the point that Julia Cameron makes in The Artist's Way is that in the morning is when you are the most, if I can say it, childlike. You're coming out of sleep, your subconscious, your spirit has been working in your dreams, and God is there working in your dreams. And when you wake up, and right, you wake up, and you haven't begun to filter yet. Because as you get your first cup of coffee, and you start going into the day, all of a sudden, all of the to-dos, and then I got to do this, and I got to do that, know what's with work today, and what's on my schedule, and what's like this, and all of a sudden, the filters start clouding up anything that was happening in your spirit in your sleep. So the idea of doing it in the morning is to catch what's going on in your heart before your filters get a chance to gunk it up. So, first thing in the morning, you sit down with your journal and you write 3 pages. These was the prescription. 3 pages, handwritten. That's it. 3 pages. One of the things that I learned in this process as well is that I teach a class on creativity. I've done it a couple times here at Third. And one of the basic forms of art, when you learn to draw, they tell you the basics of drawing. Line, shape, you know, shading. Well, line is one of the basic elements. And there is something that God made. We were made in the image of a creator, correct? So we are made to express ourselves the same way God expresses himself in creation. And when you sit down and you begin writing, you are making a line. How many of you have taken a note yet today? Anybody written a note down? Okay, look down at that page, and what do you see? And people are going to go, I see my words. Those aren't words. Those are squiggles on a piece of paper. Have you ever thought about that? We talked about that in our class, The Language of God, this last Wednesday. That's a squiggle. You made a line, but your brain interprets that line as a word, and that word goes into your brain as, this is what it means. But it's just a line. It's just a squiggle on a page. That, in a nutshell, is creativity. Something that means something else without using like or as. That's metaphor, and that's creation. For God's invisible qualities, the eternal nature was clearly seen by what has been made. So when God expresses himself through making something, it means something else, right? So when you handwrite something, you are expressing yourself with a line. That's an artistic endeavor. Now, I don't want to get too wrapped up in this, but there is something spiritual in writing. And there is something special in your writing. As you write, you are expressing yourself. And your handwriting is unique. And I hear people say, "I hate my handwriting." How many people? "I hate my handwriting," right? When I hear somebody say, "I hate my handwriting," I hear Satan go, "Checkmate." Because the enemy doesn't want you expressing yourself. Because when you express yourself, you are exercising your creative, God-given nature. Satan doesn't want us. I think there's something interesting about the fact that we are becoming a world that doesn't write anything. We do everything on a keyboard, right? And I think there's something that's spiritually dark about a culture that loses its ability to express itself in handwriting. I was having lunch with a vice president of a company in Des Moines this week, and she's the vice president of HR, and she said over lunch, she said, you know what, I probably shouldn't admit this, but if I get a handwritten thank you from an applicant, their name goes to the top of the list. I thought, wow, yeah. She is saying there's something special about getting a handwritten note from somebody. So handwritten, 3 pages, stream of consciousness, keep the pen moving. So that's it. And we often think, okay, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? But in this process, morning pages was you don't think about what you're writing. You just write, 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 whatever's coming, just keep the pen moving on the page, write. Right, right, whatever's in your head, start writing it. It might be, this was my dream last night, and this is what I was thinking about, and no, there's a snapshot. There was a whale shark in my dream last night. This is a true story. Whale shark, and the whale shark came out of the water and blew all the air out of his thing, and I went, oh, that whale shark needs about a 300-gallon bottle of scope. And that was, you know, and so you're writing and you're writing. You're not thinking about what you're writing. You just write, 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 write. 3 pages, keep the pen moving. Don't take it off. Don't think about it. And when the 3 pages are done, you put it away and you do the next thing the following morning. So that is the exercise that I began right around the year 2000, 2001. And for over 2 years, I did it every morning as soon as I got up. So let me tell you my experience. The first thing is that it was slow to flow. Could I tell you that? Things are slow to flow. And I think people who try morning pages give up within the first day or two because they get frustrated. John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow out of them. But what happens is the same thing, and Keith mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when he was talking. When you were a teenager, right, you said, my right brain got shut off. And I think that that's a very common experience. Along the way, along somewhere between childhood and adolescence into adulthood, our right brains, our creative flow, our ability to express ourselves get shut off. And so when we start the process to sit down, my first couple mornings of trying this, blah, 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 blah. That's literally what I wrote. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. This is stupid. This is doing nothing. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, this is crazy. What is this? But I said, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to try it. So it was, I realized that that river, that wellspring that Jesus talked about had been dammed up. And it just, nothing was flowing. And then along the way, I began to realize, oh, sorry about that. Went back. Slow to flow. We have a well at our place on Lake of the Ozarks, my family's place at Lake of the Ozarks, and when, especially when my parents, we dug a new well a couple years ago because the old well was not working really well. And so when the place sat winterized all winter, and then the spring you'd come and you'd turn on the water for the first time, right? Sludge, right? First it was slow to flow, and then what came out of the faucet was ugh. And you're thinking, I'm not drinking that. Well, what I discovered in doing my morning pages is after I began to get out of the blah, 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 the next layer that came out was sludge. It was the dark, sticky stuff on my soul. It was the buried anger. It was the stuff that I had been burying in my heart And it was kind of scary when it began to come out. I had some anger. I was angry at God. I was angry at my parents. I was angry. Ugh. And so as I'm writing, I hate. One of the things that came out was I have two older brothers, 7 years older than me, that were twins. There are twins, I should say. They weren't were twins. They are twins. And growing up, you know, there was something special. They were older, and they were the eldest, and they're twins, right? And through my entire life, people would go, oh, how are the twins? Oh, they're good. And then I would meet somebody along the way and said, oh, you're Dean and Jean's son, are you? Yes. Are you one of the twins? No, I'm not one of the twins. In the early 90s, I went to visit my grandfather, who was in the last stages of his life in the nursing home. I made a special trip by myself. Grandpa didn't have a lot of time left. He's going to be gone in the next year or two. He's in his 90s. So I'm going to go up, and I'm going to spend the day with him. So I went up to spend the day with him. He didn't recognize me. But he spent the day telling me about his grandsons, the twins. That became sludge. And that sludge in my heart was like, you're not special. You're not as good as your brothers. And all this stuff from my past started coming out on the page. I hate when people say, oh. And if you saw my morning pages, you would see the pen almost went through the paper. And that's another thing that's good about handwriting. You're expressing your anger. I could almost tell how my day was going. It started out by looking at my handwriting. And that sludge had to come out before God's voice could flow, because the sludge was covering up the river that God wanted to flow out of me. I found myself doing a lot of talking and processing. And then the next layer is I found the voice of what Julia Cameron calls your censor. You could call it the devil or Satan or the critic. But the voice of the censor is this. This is stupid. You don't want to do this. You see, nothing's going to happen. And I began to recognize the voices of the censor or the critic telling me, again, that this whole process of me trying to find my way, of me journaling, of me seeking what God's purpose and fulfillment for me was stupid. And what I found was that through life, many of us abandon what God has for us, abandon the purpose that we sense in our heart God made us for, the calling that we believed, even as children, I want to do this, I have this passion, I want to go this way. And we instead fulfill parental expectations, community expectations, teachers' expectations, mentors' expectations. And that sense of what God wants from us gets buried under the layers of all of those words. I had a blessing, as I told you, I was a theater major. I had the blessing of parents who allowed me to do that without ever really asking any, you know, ever criticizing my choice. But a lot of people that I know, like going, you can't be a theater major. You need to get a job. Well, God was doing something. I just knew this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm so glad my parents didn't try and stop me, because God has used it in amazing ways. And after you begin to recognize the voice of your censor, all of a sudden now things begin, in my morning pages, things began to flow. And I began hearing the voice from my heart. And I began hearing the things that, those buried desires, those buried dreams, those buried things that God had put in me as a little boy. And I began just feeling once again this sense of flow. Oh yeah, that's right. This is what the passions God gave me. And I want to dig into that. Oh, I want to give myself permission to audition for a show. And it was out of this process that I auditioned for my first show in 15.